Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. I know that for some people, this show might be a little bit strange. Maybe they're like, hey, social anxiety. Do people with social anxiety even date? Well, yes, people with social anxiety do date. And sometimes it's a lot trickier, harder. Maybe there are some hurdles to overcome. And it's different. So we're just talking about not only about how it is to date if you have social anxiety, but also on the other end of it, if you're dating somebody who has social anxiety, some things to know, to be aware of, to be kind with. So before we dive into the show too deeply, I just want to let you guys know why I talk about this stuff. And one of the reasons is that I have an absolute fascination with body, sex, relationships. I've had this fascination for decades. I think I was actually fascinated by relationships prior to the fascination of sex. Just watching people interact always made me curious or interesting. My voice is deciding to be different today. Yeah, I think I was definitely curious about how people interacted. I remember watching people as a small child, like three or four years old, watching my parents interact, watching my grandparents interact, and like the differences. Like I would notice that different people treated each other differently. And I knew what felt okay, and I knew what felt mean or unkind. And I could gauge that. I knew what that was. And I was also at a pretty young age, like very much a defender of people who would have been kind of like the outcast or the maybe like brushed aside. So I think I've always been curious about what I can do to contribute to people who are maybe struggling or going through things that we'll say like the average person isn't experiencing. And in school, for me, it was more about observing how bullies were and then stepping in. So I wasn't just the kid who sat back and watched and I didn't join in with the bullies. I was like usually the kid who was the defender. And if I did fight people, it was in retaliation to some injustice that I felt was happening. So for a lot of time, I've been observing people. And as a result, I ended up getting and gleaning knowledge and getting myself into becoming first going to university, getting a degree, and then becoming, among many things, a holistic health practitioner, as well as a relationship coach and a sex and intimacy coach. And a lot of today's information is going to be brought to you by a number of different resources. So feel free to go out and find extra resources, but I think there are some staple things we need to know. If you have social anxiety, what are some basic things you need to know in order to be able to get into the dating world, feel safe in the dating world, how to get into the dating world, because that's a tricky one if you have social anxiety, right? Maybe you're shy of those online sites. Maybe those things like Tinder aren't for you or Match.com are not for you because they don't cater to or really know how to work with people who have social anxiety. So what do we do? So the reason why I do what I do is because I've always felt like I could contribute in some way to help people feel safer in the world, happier in the world, healthier in the world. And today, this show is no different. So with this, we're going to be looking at a few things, like where do you go? How do you have a conversation? What do you have a conversation about? Who do you talk to? What do you do? All of these things can be really, really daunting and almost overwhelming, and probably overwhelming to somebody with social anxiety. So how do we define social anxiety? And I'll give you a definition of social anxiety that's up and out kind of in the world. So social anxiety is an anxiety disorder characterized by sentiments of fear and anxiety in social situations, causing considerable distress and impairing ability to function in at least some aspects of daily life. So social anxiety can be even for going to the grocery store, or, you know, that's too much, or even any situation that involves people, maybe people you don't know, going places you're not familiar with. So dating is usually something where you're meeting somebody that you don't know. And on a lot of times, it's going to places that you're not familiar with. So what do you do, right? Because that right there is, it sounds like a cocktail for anxiety. If you have social anxiety, going places with, you know, to meet somebody you've maybe only met online, or maybe friends have introduced you, but you've never met them. So all of this can be really scary. So one of the things that I highly, highly recommend is that if you, first of all, how do we find these people, right? So, you know, how do you get to dating? How do you actually find somebody? It's that's kind of the trickier one, right? So we want to get that underway. So if you have social anxiety, one of the things we want to do first is to build your confidence, and you build your confidence gradually. So most of the time with social anxiety, you're also going to probably feel like if you do ask somebody out, they might say no, then you'll feel rejected. And then there's rejection. And then there's like all these other feelings that come with that, that will probably kick in more anxiety or depression or all kinds of things that could be going on. So in order to build confidence, you want to start with some different social interactions. So I'm a fan of, if you don't belong to a group of any kind of group, whether it's like if you're young and it's a youth group, or if you're older, maybe it's, you know, I think about the things around our town. We've got like the Kiwanis Hall. We've got, you know, the Shriners. We've got all these, like, we've actually got a lot of groups, like social groups for adults mostly. So if you're like over 21, those groups will probably work for you. But most of those groups are also catering to people 40 plus. So how do you meet people when you're younger? There are youth groups, and there are other places where you can get social. So sometimes it's sporting things and different gatherings that you can go to. It would be really good to go to places where you have maybe a special interest. So going, if you have, say, for example, you have social anxiety, but you might have a special interest of comic books. If you go to one of the smaller Comic-Cons, like, for example, in our small town, we have a Comic-Con that only has about 10 booths and maybe 300 or 400 people walk through the door. But it's kind of different in that when people have social anxiety, sometimes when they dress in costume or they dress as a character, they feel a bit better going into public gatherings. So if you happen to have that special interest, that can be kind of helpful to kind of play as a different character and get out in the world. And then that can ease you into going to larger events and meeting more people. But I think finding groups that you're interested in, it could be dog walkers. One of my favorite ways to get into these scenarios, to build your confidence, to meet people, to have conversations, is to get on meetup.com. And I think meetup is pretty much worldwide, where there's meetups pretty much everywhere. And there are meetups that are ranging from like dog walking. You might be like running in your meetup group. Maybe it's a fishing meetup group or playing euchre, or to the extreme of also there is like sex education that is on meetup groups as well. So there is a whole range of stuff that you can find on meetup.com. And it's and I don't get paid to talk about meetup.com, by the way. It's not, this show is not sponsored by meetup.com, but it is a great site with a lot of different interests that you can tap into, and you can actually filter by your interest to figure out what's going on in your area. And then go out, you know, attend one of these events. Or if you're even too scared to attend one of them, even just have a list and join some of the groups and see what events are happening. And maybe one of them one day you'll feel confident to go to. What I also encourage you to do is if you happen to have a friend, bring them along to one of these special interest group small gatherings, because that can really help you feel, you know, having your security, you know, for some people it's like a security blanket, but you might have your security person that can go with you. And for some people it's a pet that, you know, they have a dog or be a cat that they travel with for their, to help them with anxiety. So you can absolutely start with, you don't necessarily have to go alone. So go to a small gathering with somebody that you know that you can have conversation with too, in case the event is uncomfortable for you. And know for sure that you are allowed to leave at any time. You can walk into a group and you might say in 5 seconds, this is not for me. And I encourage you to trust your gut. So if your gut says, I'm out of here, just get out of there. If you're thinking, oh, this is just my social anxiety getting the better of me, well, A, it might be, but B, you might actually be having alarm bells going off that are like your intuition kicking in. So in this case, better safe than sorry, follow your gut. If you need to get out of a gathering that you've gone to, make sure that you have an exit strategy. So if you've been dropped off, make sure that the person who's dropped you off is waiting for you, at least like in the parking lot or something, so that you can leave when you need to, and or that they go in with you and that you leave together, or you have your own vehicle, or you have the means to get up and go whenever you feel like. So another way that you can build confidence is to practice conversations. And one of the ways to do that is through phone conversations. You can try that. If you happen to have friends that you can talk on the phone with, sometimes if face-to-face is too much, just do voice. If you can do face-to-face, like I'm thinking about when I was younger and I was on the phone a lot and I did a lot of social interacting because there was always things going on. And I do find that building friendships and relationships on the phone with just conversations was really helpful. And we don't have a lot of that these days. There's a lot of texting, which can be misinterpreted and misunderstood. But having actual conversations can be really helpful. And practicing conversations, because sometimes with social anxiety, you might not know what to say or how to interact. So first, we got to build your confidence. Then from there, we can get you into some different things, like online dating can be one of the resources to start with, but you might want to try some sites that are a little bit more geared towards people who are shy. I think there's a one that's called like Shyness or something like that. I'll find that for you guys. There are some sites that are specifically geared to people who have social anxieties that can really be helpful in getting started. So there, also what you want to do is look at some of the things on those sites. What are people writing about? Are they saying things about themselves that maybe you're not comfortable talking about yourself? Maybe there are things that you don't know about yourself. So now it's time to actually dig down and figure out who you are to be able to describe yourself. Maybe you don't even know if you're somebody who, you know, what your likes or dislikes are, what your special interests are. Maybe you've never had to describe yourself. And if you've had issues with that and you'd like to be able to figure that out, you can always give me a shout. You can book until the end of December, you can book a conversation with me, a connection conversation through. So the end of December, 2024, in case you're listening to this past that date, you can book a free call with me. And if you miss the date, just send me an email and I'm happy to write back to you. So send me an email through my website as well, if you'd prefer to do that. But if you'd like to get on a call, if you're feeling confident enough to get on a call, be happy to work with you to create a profile for you. Just getting some questions out, I can ask you questions and then we can start getting you a profile for online dating. Having a profile and knowing who you are can really be helpful in being able to interact with people as well. So it will help you, just knowing who you are can be really helpful in life in general. So we have a few other things to talk about. So stick around. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be back right after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. For those of you who are tapping in right now and listening in, joining in, you might have missed the first part where we were talking a little bit about what is social anxiety, what are some things that you can do to start getting ready to date, where are some places you can go. And one of the things that I had mentioned was getting on some dating sites that are specific to people who have social anxiety. And there's one called Shy Passions, and there's another one called Social Anxiety Friends Date. Now, I personally haven't been on those sites, but they are geared to and supposed to be geared to people who are experiencing social anxiety. So hopefully those sites are still up and running. That might be something that, I don't know, they might be out of date or it might not have the app anymore, but try it out. Hopefully they are still up and running. And if not, and I'm sure there are more, I will be happy to go. I just had a few seconds to go find that. So yes, if that's something you'd like to do, definitely look at some alternative sites to the ones that, you know, you hear people talking about all the time, like the Tinders and all that stuff. they might be a little overwhelming and daunting to look at all of the people and options and things, and can be a little bit daunting, I'm sure, even on the sites that are dedicated for people with social anxiety. So try not to get overwhelmed. I would set down some time, just if you are going on them, read some profiles, maybe set a timer for 5 or 10 minutes max, so not get in there and like feel like you have to find a person and like your first date has to be the right date and this is going to be the person, your person for life, and that you don't have to do that. And it's okay to just go out and have, say, a tea or a coffee and go out for half an hour and that's it. And definitely going to places that are public is good. Going to events that are organized by like professional event coordinators so that you know that what you're walking into, you have an idea of what's going to go on at the event. And you'll also have an idea of how many people might be there. And remember to take a friend. And if your friends live far away, then, you know, you can always put your friends on the phone with you. You know, that's the beauty of today. You can put your friend on video chat while you go on your date if you need to. And you can also contact your people, let them know that you're, you know, whether it's your family or friends, let them know that you're going out. Because you want to make sure that you're safe and that you have your go-tos. So also when you're back, you know, everybody knows that you're okay. So having check-in times, and definitely know what your level of comfort is. So starting off with things like knowing what your boundaries are. Like if you need to say, I don't kiss on the first date, I definitely don't have sex on the first date. You know, knowing what your rules are around that, I'm not going to go back to your apartment on the first date, and being able to state what your boundaries are and then make sure you have your own back and follow through. Because I've seen it time and time again where people have set boundaries, but then they don't follow through because either they get manipulated into situations or, yeah, and then they end up in situations that aren't safe. So definitely go with a friend, especially for the first, I would say, 3 or 4 or 5 even dates. As many dates as you want to make sure you're not going home with the person, or that the person, if you don't want somebody to touch you for at least 5 dates, then make sure that you're having like communal dating. Bring, you know, you bring along a friend, they bring along a friend, so that it's more of a group activity so that you feel safe, especially when you have social anxiety. But regardless of whether you have social anxiety or not, it's just a really good rule, especially these days. There's a lot of funky, weird stuff going on and people with fake profiles and all that stuff. So one of the things that's really good with going to like meet people at events is that you probably are going to these events based on special interests. Like if you are joining book clubs or art classes, like you'll know that the person going to those, people going to those, are going to have the same interests as you. Another one is a pretty good place to meet people is like volunteering. So whether you're volunteering at a soup kitchen or, you know, you're volunteering for a parade, whatever it happens to be, as long as it's something that you're actually interested in, it will be helpful for you also to meet other people who are interested in that as well, and people who have similar values to you. So then you'll know, you'll have a base of where you can start to even have some comfort, some confidence in being able to have conversation with people. So also, there's a few things that we got to consider. So now we're out there, we're meeting people, and now how do you make that step? How do you make a move, or how do you receive the move? And one of the things to consider is that whether somebody says yes or no, it's okay. So I like to practice receiving no's, and I've done several shows on this. Probably in my 20s, I lived in Toronto. So that's a large city in Canada. It's our capital city of Ontario, but not our capital city of Canada. several million people in Toronto. And when I would go out, say partying at night, because I did a lot of that, I'd be on maybe walking down the street and I'd had several people who would approach me asking for money. And at the time, I remember it was kind of a weird situation or scenario, but I know that I was a student and I had like thousands of dollars in debt, like I don't know, $35,000 or $40,000 in debt, which was a lot for 1995, 96 kind of era. And so I had all this debt and, you know, I had all these people approaching me for money. And one day I remember looking at a fellow and he had asked me for money. And I said, I really appreciate that you think I have money, but you have more than I do. And he was like, what? And like, he was sort of stunned and taken aback. I was like, for one, you have more money just on your body right now than I do. You have thousands of dollars in tattoos. I don't have that. And you have, you actually have zero probably right now, or you might even have $5. And he was like, yeah, I have about $5. And I was like, yeah, I have negative $30,000. And that he was like, oh. And I was like, yeah, there's a reality. I said, so would you give me your $5? I don't know why I got so cocky and weird, but I did. And he said no, and I didn't take offense to that. So I found that asking random strangers for things, almost expecting a no, can be a lot easier to receive than getting no's from somebody that, you know, it's like asking somebody on a date that you're interested in, they say no, is a lot harder to receive than some random person that you might ask, will you buy me a coffee? And sometimes those random people will buy you a coffee. So then it's up to you to say thank you and receive that yes as well. Because as much as, you know, it can be scary to have somebody reject you, it can also be equally scary to have somebody accept you. Because what do you do then? Especially if you've been really used to being rejected, it can be a little bit wild and overwhelming. So one of the things that you want to do is learn how to ask, and learn how to ask in ways that is just casual, you know, hey, you know. And it can also be really handy, say if you've met somebody at one of these meetups and it's like dog walking meetup, you can say to somebody that you could potentially be interested in, you might say, hey, would you ever like to just walk our dogs together sometime? Right. So that's an easy ask, right? And if they say, no, I just like to walk in this group. Okay, cool. I'll see you next time in this group. Right. So you kind of know where they're standing with private things. Maybe they also have social anxiety and don't want to go solo. That could be a thing too. So I think one of the things that that can be a little bit wild and intimidating. First, you're getting yourself into a group. And I wouldn't say like right off the bat, ask somebody out, but test the waters and see over time if that works for you. And it can be a little intimidating in person. One of the good things about the online scenario is that you can ask questions, you can wait for responses. It, you know, whether people are like, well, that person didn't respond to me. It's okay. People have lives. They're not going to respond immediately. Sometimes they just aren't interested, right? So it's okay too. So we want to learn how to ask, and we want to learn how to ask not just the yes and no questions, like, would you like to go walk your dog with me and my dog? Or would you like to, you know, go to that beach festival, blah, blah, blah. It's helpful that if you're asking somebody with social anxiety, it's helpful to ask also about specific things instead of, do you want to go on a date? It's a lot better if you can ask specifics, like, would you like to go to, and then name a location that indicates you've been listening to what their interests are. So would you like to go skating? Could be like a question. And they might say, yeah, I love skating. Awesome. Thank you for remembering that I love skating. Okay, let's meet at the skating rink, because the chances are there's going to be a lot of people there. And would you like to bring a friend or Would you like, maybe we could both bring friends, right? So it's just casual. You're just getting to know each other. It's not life-threatening. So show that you're listening when you're asking. Show that you're listening to the person who might have social anxiety, that you're asking them to go to a place where they would feel safe, and also that you're offering them things that they would like to do so that they're also going to feel safer in saying yes to you. So I remember years ago, there was a guy who asked me out, and it was the cutest thing ever. He asked me to go for salad with him because he knew I was vegetarian. And I think I was maybe one of the only vegetarians he knew. And I was like, yeah, I'll go for salad with you. What a great offer. Other people are like, do you want to go for a drink? But he actually paid attention and listened and asked me to do something that was interesting to me. So kudos to him. I won't name his name on here, but I respect you, and I hope you're having a great life. So maybe you're listening. Maybe you're not. I never know. Are ex-boyfriends listening to my show? Who knows? I'd love to hear about that. I'd love to have you all on. That would be such a hoot and a riot. I mean, some of you I still chat with randomly, so who knows? So we want to be staying safe. We want to meet in public places where you can be casual. And definitely if somebody suggests like going somewhere isolated, probably your anxiety is going to get higher. Even though the anxiety is a social anxiety, being private with somebody you don't know will probably ramp up the social anxiety. So you want to make sure that the people that you know and love know where you are. And you want to make sure that you trust your instincts. So if you're feeling like you want to get out of somewhere, just leave. And also, you can always just say no, right? Like if somebody asks you to go somewhere, you're like, that doesn't feel good. I'm not choosing that. And another really important thing is not to give them things like where you live, any financial information, birth dates, anything like that. I wouldn't do that for several dates, or if you've known the person for years or something, then maybe that's a different situation, but keep your personal information as private as possible. And don't share like even where you live or how much money you make for at least, I would say, 5 to 10 dates. Nobody needs to know. And also, yeah, make sure that you have a time that you plan on leaving and stick to it. So if it's like, I'm going out for coffee, it's going to be half an hour, I'm not going past that. Like, make sure you're honoring your time and space. Or that's also when you might start looking at clocks and going, I said I was only going to be here 30 minutes, it's been 45. And you start to get nervous because the time is maybe impeding on other things, or you need to get somewhere. Even if you don't, it just could be that you need to know that your allotted time was allotted and that's what you did. All right. We're going to talk more about dating tips for people with social anxiety when we come back from this break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So one of the things I notice, like, sometimes when I do these shows, I can perceive the energies of people listening, and whether it's now or in the future, it's always interesting. So today's feeling of, like, anxiety has the anxiety rising, and I'm like, oh, what do I do when I sense or I'm aware of anxiety? And one of the things that I personally do is I just kind of stop and I just do some really simple breathing. And there's a variety of breath work I do, but the one of the simplest is to just regulate your breathing to a sort of a standard breath, which is in for five and then out for five. In for five, out for five. It'll just get your body to regulate. You can also do ones where you're breathing in for four, hold for four, and then out for five, eight. So that's a 4-4-8 breath work, or some people call it a 3-3-6. It's where you have an intermittent pause. So you hold for as long as your breath in is. So it could be a 5-5-10, and then your breath out is double whatever that is. While you're doing the hold on that, look around and see if you're safe. If you're safe, breathe out and remind yourself, I'm safe. And if you're not feeling safe, one of the things you can do is get out. If your space is on fire, if the person you're with is scaring you, get up and leave. You're absolutely allowed to get up and leave. If they start making you feel even more uncomfortable, have your back. Make sure that you have a person on speed dial that you can call and say, I'm calling this person and I'm leaving, and call them and leave. I think about a scenario or two I was in my life, and man, I'm ever so grateful that my mother is psychic, because I could have landed in some mess. I landed in messes later on, but at that time I was in a scenario situation that was very scary to me, and I didn't have a cell phone at the time. We're talking like 1997. They did exist, but I didn't have one. And the person that I was on a date with insisted on taking me back to their place. And they did all this weird, guilty, weird stuff that I fell for, because at the time I didn't have the confidence to stand up to them. So yeah, I got out of that scenario, and it was scary. And I wish I had actually known some tips and tools beforehand. And maybe I had built my confidence first too. And I didn't. I hadn't had my confidence built at the time, but you know what? It's all good. You live and learn. And now I can pass on information to you guys so that you can be safe. So definitely have the and know that you can get out. As soon as you want to get out, get out. Your gut's talking to you. And have somebody on speed dial so that you, well, it's always speed dial this day, isn't it? So, you know, open that phone, give a call. And make sure that whoever you've told that you're coming is available, so they will pick up if you do call, and call them right away and say, I'm leaving, I'm coming home. It should take me half an hour. Make sure that, or talk to them the whole way on the way out of the place, so that that person that might be scaring you knows that you have somebody backing you, and that you, if they try anything, they're not going to get away with it. So I'm just trying to keep you guys safe, not trying to scare you. These are just tools to keep you safe. And also so that the people that love you also won't be as worried about you, because they'll know that you have a plan of action ready. So, all right, we got that under wraps. I feel like that one's a really, really important one. when you are in the middle of that, if you're feeling anxiety and you can just breathe it out and you feel better, because maybe it's just something else and it's not an alarm bell going off and you can breathe out the anxiety, great. You might want to breathe out the anxiety before you even go. I know that for me, it was often going places, or it was actually more for me performance anxiety, and I needed to learn a bunch of things. And one of them was that 99% of the time, my performance anxiety had more to do with the people I was doing the work for, the work that I was doing, rather than that it was me. I was actually picking up on all their fears of what I might tell them. So that was an eye-opening moment when I realized that. And then my anxiety, the anxiety that I was aware of, which wasn't mine at all, was like 99% gone within a week. I just kept on noticing all the times that I was picking up on things. And that's not always true for everyone. So I'm just letting you know that sometimes it's true. And if you need those tools and you want to get on a quick call to learn how to check in on that and find out if it's even yours, you can always contact me through my website to book a time. You know, until the end of December 2024, you can do that for free, or send me an email and I'm happy to send you a write-up on some tips and tools. And I think I even have maybe some audio recordings if you want some of those. So if you're noticing that any thoughts are coming up, like, oh, nobody's ever going to like you, this is blah, 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 I need you to stop for just a second and pull off those questions from Byron Katie that I love talking about a lot. And that first question is it true? So say like negative thoughts are coming up. Well, this person definitely doesn't like me. They're never going to like me. I'm not lovable. Who could ever like me? Stop. Is it true? Is it true that nobody likes you? Nobody could ever like you, and nobody ever did like you. So if you can find proof that it's true that every single person you know doesn't like you and never liked you and would never like you, okay, let's move on to the next question. How do you know for certain it's true? Well, maybe it's through your proof. Maybe people have told you, I don't like you. Maybe it's their behavior. How do you know for certain it's true? So maybe you've proved that too. Maybe you're really, really sure now that for sure, nobody likes me. Nobody will ever like me. That's never going to happen. Okay, so we move on to the next one. The next one is, without that thought, who would you be and how would you feel? So without the thought of nobody likes me, nobody would ever like me, I'm not lovable, if you didn't have that thought, who would you be? How would you feel? You might feel like, I choose to be loved. I am lovable. I can be loved. I can love. Oh, I am love. Oh, I love. Oh, fascinating, right? It can flip that quite around. Oh, but maybe you haven't even been able to get there yet. So that's okay. Without that thought, who would you be? How would you feel? You might be like, I have no idea. And that thought is all pervasive and it's taken over every cell of my body. So, okay, that could be true. And then what you can do is you can just take that thought of I'm not lovable, nobody will ever love me, and you can just flip it 180 degrees. And what is it now? So 180 degrees difference would be like, I am lovable. I can be loved. I am loved, right? So all of those things that I'd said before. So those flip, that flip. And sometimes you don't believe it. So it's, I choose to feel and know love. I choose to love and be loved. Until it's true for you, you can just choose that. You can choose into it more and more and more so that you build the confidence. So if those challenging negative thoughts come up that might really impede your progress on confidence and going out there and being on the date and being present in the date, challenge those negative thoughts when they come up. And if you need to, just take a minute and say, I need to go to the restroom and I'll be right back in 5 minutes. And it's helpful if you can tell the person you're with to tell them how long you're going to be gone, especially if the person that you're with maybe has, maybe they have like an attachment style that is more where they have a lot more insecurity. So they might need you to let them know it'll be 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I will be back. I just need 5 or 10 minutes. So it's really helpful to tell people that so that they're not thinking that you're just leaving and taking off. So being able to be communicative about that is very helpful. So remember that you are allowed to take a break on a date. And I have fine examples of that in my life too, where I would say it was my first boyfriend. We could say officially my first boyfriend. I think he had maybe, well, I'm pretty sure he was neurodivergent. Probably, yes. I'd have to write to him and ask. His birthday's in a few days. Anyway, so maybe, yeah, maybe he was. I'm not sure. I don't know how he identifies with that. But he had this quirky thing where he once in the middle of a date, just he needed space and he just got up and ran. And I was just sitting in a cafe having hot chocolate. I knew I was probably going to drive him home, but he like ran for, I don't know, 20 minutes or something and then came back. And remember, guys, this is like 1991. Again, no cell phones. And I just kind of waited. I just had a feeling like it was going to be okay and he would be back. And if he wasn't, I would just head home in like an hour and whatever. So, yeah, that can be funny, but let the person have the space. It is helpful if you say, I just need to do this and I'll be back. That's a lot more helpful than just say getting up running and not saying anything. So yeah, remember to mention what you're doing, where you're going, and if you will be back. So we have a little bit more, a few more tips and tools to share here on Inspired, on the Pleasure Zone on Inspired Choices Network. You're listening to this show and I'm grateful for that. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So what have we been talking about today? We have been talking about dating when you have social anxiety. And some of the things I've been talking about has been about really about listening to people, about listening to yourself, about trusting yourself. And one of the things too is we've been talking about locations and like, how do you feel confident? And one of the things to feel confident is, remember, this is like really, I think the best thing to remember is that no person and no date is going to be perfect. And as much as you can plan and prep and try and get all the right words and know all the right stuff, it's okay to just show up and not know things. Even though with social anxiety, you're probably going to want to know things like location, how long it takes to get there, how long you're going to be there, how many people are going to be there. You're probably going to want to know some details, and that's fine and good because that's what you need to feel safe and totally do that. Also, just know, just show up and be you. And if the person like enjoys you and enjoys being around you, fantastic. And if they're like, this isn't really working, that's okay. It just means you're not for them. But you know what? There are like 7.9 billion people on the planet and probably more now. The chances are really, really high. There is going to be at least one, possibly hundreds of people that would actually enjoy being with you. And that doesn't mean that they have to enjoy being with you for your whole life. They might enjoy being with you for like 3 months or 5 years or 10 years, and that's okay. You don't have to have the perfect relationship, or the perfect relationship doesn't mean that it lasts forever until death do you part. That is a notion that in itself creates a lot of stress and anxiety. So be patient with you. Also be prepared so that you feel like satisfied going out. Be prepared knowing how long is it going to take you to get there. Leave on time so that you're not late, so you don't feel awkward showing up late in case, you know, you're half an hour late and your date was only going to be half an hour, then the person will probably leave. So don't be late. And then also you might want to just think about clothing too in advance. Like, what clothes do you feel comfortable in? Which clothes, when you wear them, have you feel confident? Maybe you don't want to stick out too much in a crowd because you don't want a lot of attention. Maybe you do want a lot of attention, but probably not a lot. Probably not. So get yourself into a position where you feel confident. And also, when it comes to like actually picking locations, it's really good to pick something or a place that you're aware of. Like if you're going into a bar that's really noisy and maybe you have sensitivity to sound or light, then that isn't going to work for you. So you need to know the venue. Like if you're going to a coffee place where maybe there's machines that have really, really high sounding grinding noises, you might not like that. So make sure you're going again to somewhere that you feel comfortable so that triggers aren't going to throw you off, especially if you might have some other things going on that would maybe have you have tics or something that would initiate that. So then that might make you feel awkward. So I think going to somewhere that you know, that you enjoy, that you like, but also listen to the person that you're asking out. And if there's something that you have in common that you both like to do, then make sure that you pick that common thing. Like if you've never gone bowling, don't go bowling on your first date and find out like that the noise is awful, that wearing somebody else's shoes, borrowing shoes is gross for the other person. Like, don't necessarily do that because it's not going to work. Pick something where it's going to be mutually enjoyable. And, you know, if you leave on time, you'll probably get there on time. And if you leave early, you'll probably get there early, which is cool because you can scope the space out. And then if the space doesn't work for you, like maybe you went there before and it felt different, and then maybe the venue has changed a bit or it's whole atmosphere has changed. So if you get there a bit earlier, you can always say, you know what, I was just in there to check it out, and it's not really what I remember, but there's a place next door or just down the street. How about if we drive there and do that? But take your own cars, because going together, you don't want to get in somebody's car that you don't know. So take your own car or vehicle or walk there. And especially, I would hope that you're taking my advice on bringing more than one person with you so that you're not feeling scared meeting them. Yeah, so definitely want you to feel confident and to have somebody with you that is like your security blanket so you feel confident. And you can also just ask your friends to boost you, you know, and go, you got this, you know, be your cheerleaders, especially if it's your very first time going out. You might need a little encouragement and cheering. And if you're going anywhere that has a lot of people, like a concert or a big party, definitely go with more than one person, because you might need to be able to navigate a room and you might not want to be around certain people. And also, don't avoid it, because the experience will probably be great for you. However, bring people that you feel safe with, so that, you know, if you need to go off into a corner of the room or into a kitchen and have a conversation with somebody so that you're not in the big crowd, that's really helpful to do. And Just think about your body language. I know I've talked a lot, you know, I haven't really talked a lot on here maybe about body
Thank
language.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.